Well, I want to welcome you to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Yeah. This morning, if you would turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 8, let me ask you a question. I know October, and I guess October to February is flu season, right? Now, how many of you guys actually get a flu shot? All right. You're the people I need a fellowship with later. Okay, that's good. But some of us, like me, I'm terrified of needles, right? They come in that thing. I'm like, you know, fighting you off. Like, and now they even have needles that hurt less. It still hurt, but less. And, you know, they call it, or they draw blood, they call it the butterfly needle. It doesn't feel like butterfly, but that's supposed to not hurt so much, right? And so we get flu shots so that we can, you know, fight off the flu so we don't get it as bad. So every year they have flu shots for us. And so a lot of time when people get sick, you're like, don't come to work. Stay home and get well and go see the doctor and don't come infect us. You know, you stay home and get better and then come to work. And I appreciate that because, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, they get sick and they're coughing and so it's not good for them just to be at work because you spread it for everybody. But you know how sometimes church can be like that. Church can be like, yeah, you need to get better before you come. You don't want to infect us. You wanna get well. You know, you need to dress nice. You need to have, you know, a three-piece suit. You need to like look a certain way before you come to church. And so we're gonna look at this little event in the life of Jesus and what he teaches us about ourselves. Let me get my clicker here. Let's read in Matthew chapter 8, starting verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." You know, it's very interesting here. It says Jesus was coming down from the mountainside. You know, a few chapters here, he was giving a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, right? He was giving a sermon. He's coming down from the mountainside. And so this, you know, crowds was following him. And it says here that this leper guy had leprosy. He came running up to Jesus. And he fell down and he knelt before Jesus. And says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, not only did he say, "be clean," but he reached out and touched the guy. Now, there's a lot of this little episode, there's a lot in here that talks a lot about us and a lot about God. You know, we have to read between the lines in this thing. Leprosy, and what is that all about? My first point here, the title is called The Touch of Jesus. We are infected. My first point. You know, where this came from, let's read in Leviticus where the law of Moses talked about what should happen to people who have this kind of disease, okay? It says the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Now, this is the law, the Levitical law, that was This is what happens to you when you have leprosy. You have to wear torn clothes. You have to let down your hair. You can't keep your hair. You can't put it in a nice ponytail. You have to look like a crazy man. Torn clothes, hair all over the place. And then not only that, you have to yell out, unclean, unclean, as you come into people, right? And not only that, you have to live outside of the city wall. You can't come into the city. You have to live outside of the city wall. So let me give you a few things about leprosy. Leprosy defines a person. Person's life. He is cut off. He's cut off from society. He's cut off from family, friends. He's an outcast. He can't hug anybody. Now, some of you guys, you have babies. Oh, my goodness. You kiss that baby night and day. Rightfully so. You can't kiss your baby. You can't hold your wife's hand. You're cut off. You can't be close to people. You have to live outside of the city. It kills you from inside. So it starts off like a little rash. Leprosy starts off as a little rash, and then it starts to spread. And then it goes deeper into your nervous system. And it kills your nervous system where you start to feel pain, but after a while you can't feel it anymore. So when you're cutting things, because you can't feel it, you might chop off your finger, you don't even know. Or you might touch fire and you don't even know. You can't feel the pain anymore. So it's killing you from the inside. It goes into your nervous system, destroys you. You have deformed appearance. Your face, your nose starts to fall off, your finger, your toes, and sometimes whole limbs falls off because it's deteriorating. And you smell. Nobody wants to be around you. And then, not after that, I said, again, you become numb, right? You become numb to those things. You can't feel pain anymore. It's like a progressive thing in your body. Every year, every week, it gets worse and worse. You know, ultimately, they call this disease, one of the writers says, you know, you're a dead man walking, literally. When you have this disease, you're a dead man walking. And what ultimately at the end is, when you die, they throw you in a fire. They have to burn your body because it's so contagious. They don't want to spread to other people. So at the end, your body gets thrown into the fire. And you know how sometimes, you know, sin is so equated with leprosy in the Bible. We hear about you guys remember Miriam and Aaron, how they opposed Moses. And then Miriam breaks out in leprosy. And you remember Naaman, you know, going to Elisha, and his servant was like, you know, I want to get all that stuff that you were going to give Elisha. And he broke out in leprosy at the end. He got what Naaman got. Or King Uzziah, who was proud and arrogant, and how he got leprosy as well. And so sometimes in the Bible, we see this thing where God is just, this is God's punishment to them. Or something we did that God has not allowed us to live in his presence. And I don't know if that's, you know, what this guy has got, you know. But I know that we've all been infected by sin. We've been infected by sin. You know, Romans talks about how we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Sometimes we come to church and we think, you know, I'm good. But there's stuff in our hearts that are not good. Here's how something about sin. Sin cuts you off from God. Sin cuts you off from people. And you know there's broken relationship because of sin. There's the, you know, we hide. We lie about things. We deflect. We never try to own up to what's happening inside. You know, we have that sinful nature. You don't really have to work on being sinful. It's in there. It's going to come out. Right? Nobody has a New Year resolution. You know, this year I'm going to become angrier. This year I'm going to be the angriest guy. Or this year I'm going to work on being greedy. Oh, man, last year was not enough. I need to be more greedy this year. I need to be more selfish this year. Nobody does that as a New Year resolution. It's already in there. It's already in. You're infected with sin. It cuts you off from God. You hide and blame. And you have to live outside of the city wall of God. You know, sin kills us from within. You know, it infects our hearts and our soul, and it eats away at our integrity, and it eats away at our character, and it eats away at our dignity. Sin kills us from the inside. You know, it deforms our appearance. You know, we were created in the image of God, but sin deforms our appearance. Sin makes us unattractive. You don't go, hey, mom, hey, dad, I want you to meet my fiancé. He's really angry. And I love it. He is so selfish. Oh, I love selfishness. It makes you unattractive. Sin makes you unattractive. It deforms you. You were made in his image. But sin makes you deformed. Unattractive. We're losing character. We use profanity. We have no character and dignity and integrity. Sin numbs us. You know, we want to do more and more and get deeper and deeper. Right? Sin numbs us. The first time we got drunk, we're like, oh man, that was, I have a headache. I don't want to do that again. But as we start hanging out with our friends, we start drinking, it's like it numbs us. We don't feel that bad anymore. It's like, oh, this is a great party. Let's do it. Or when we give up our virginity, it's like, oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, my gosh. And then we get involved in sexual immorality, and it becomes like a normal thing. It numbs us. Sin numbs us. You know, we start using drugs. And at first, like, man, I can't believe I'm starting. I hear about drug users, but now, I'm starting. And it's okay. Maybe it's just to take the edge off. But after a while, we're so engrossed in it. It numbs us. We can't even begin where, how did I get this far? Sin numbs us. We get angry. You know, obedience without relationship leads to resentment, anger, bitterness, discontentment. We grind it out. And I want to say this to many people, some of you. I want to apologize. I want to apologize, especially to the young people, that somehow we have failed you when we chose discipleship. For you, we want, in our haste, that we want you to be a disciple, we push you to discipleship instead of pushing you to Jesus. I apologize. And that's how we have no relationship. We're trying to do discipleship without relationship with Jesus. And it's a grind. It's like, coming to church? Why? I'm tired. Relationship without, obedience without relationship is a grind. And I'm so sorry if that's you. I pray that you would go back and connect with God. Amen. Connect with Jesus. You know, we love the saving part, not so much the lordship. Jesus saved me, but lordship, I don't know about that. I still want to do my own thing. I don't want to give that up. This thing that I'm not good at, here you go, Jesus, take this. But this thing, this is mine. I want to keep this part of it. See, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing for Jesus. Am I keeping some of my secret stuff? Is this my thing? Or lordship, God, I've died. I no longer exist. You live in me. I am a new creation. Go back and connect to Jesus. I'm sorry if that's you. I pray that you would go back and connect to Jesus. Discipleship without Jesus is miserable. You can't live that. You can't sustain that. You will eventually quit one day. You'll be like, this is too much. I can't do this. Let me go do something else. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you're intimate with him, if you know Jesus, these things are just, I do it because I love God. I do it because I understand what he did for me on the cross. I do it because I have a relationship with God. You know, less or we become ungrateful for what God has done for us, and we forget our lives before Jesus. How it was bad, it was lonely. When we lived outside of the camp in our sin, we forgot that Jesus had saved us from that. My second point here says Christ alone is the cure. Christ alone is the cure. You know, this guy that runs up to Jesus, falls on his knees, and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Imagine coming down from the mountain, you walking behind Jesus, and this crazy-looking guy comes running up. He didn't say, unclean, unclean. He didn't say that. As people are starting to part, here's this guy looking crazy coming towards you and Jesus. You know, in the law, this guy could have been stoned, right? Could have been. Like, how did he get in here? How did he get inside the city wall? How did he get beyond all these people? He was so desperate, he didn't care. He's like, you know, I'm a dead man walking anyway, so I'm going to go and figure out how Jesus can heal me. And that's what he did. He ran up to Jesus. It was illegal for this leper to come to this group right here. But only Jesus can make you clean. You can never be good enough, perfect enough. He just came down from the mountain. This is what he says. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, if your righteousness is not greater than the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you can't go to heaven. So that makes us doomed, because none of us is righteous. We're not even righteous more than the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And that's exactly what he's saying. You can't be perfect enough. There's no way you can be perfect enough. There's no way you can do enough to earn your way into heaven. There's nothing you can do enough to say, I deserve to go to heaven. There's nothing we can do. That's exactly what he said. You can't do it. That's why you need me, Jesus. Throw yourself at the mercy of God. He can revive and make you alive again. He came to cure us of our sins. The cross of God is the answer and the cure for our sins. Luke chapter 4, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus in Capernaum, reading the scriptures from Isaiah. He's about freedom. He is about recovery. He is about release. Jesus says, I'm here to free you. I'm here to release you, to recover your sight, to release the oppressed. Let me say something about mental health. Mental health is one of those very challenging things. And I think sometimes in our congregation, in our fellowship, we almost kind of like, this is an uncomfortable thing for me. For me too. But you know, I think the thing about mental health is that, you know, how God talks about the body and all how we affect each other. That the little part the indispensable part, we hold it with high regards. We take care of it. And there is a reason why God has put people who have mental health issues in our congregation. They are not for us to shy away from. They are not for us to say, you know, that's a little overwhelming. They're here for a reason. They are those indispensable part. They are the one that God has put for us to check our hearts, to see where we're at. Do we love them simply because they are human beings, they are brothers and sisters? Or do we love them because, you know, we have to, or we because that's something we need to do, or simply because we love them? You know, they are amazing people because they have to deal with so many things that you and I sometimes we don't have to deal. You know, we don't have that thing, so sometimes it's hard for us to understand. But they're so strong. Sometimes we think they're weak, but actually they're stronger than us. Because they have to carry this thing around with them. And we don't. And we think they're weak. And we think they're somebody that we have to really take care of. See, mental health, he came to release the oppressed. He came to help those who are bipolar, to help those who have addiction. We got to take the stigma out of mental health. We need to embrace each other, to take care of each other, to love them. People will know that you are my disciples through your love. We have to love each other deeply. It says in Hebrew, "But we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." You know, Jesus is our high priest. He's been, you know, he's not unable to sympathize with us, to empathize with us in our weaknesses, because he too was tempted in every way. And I think about, you know, again, like mental health. I think, you know, we think Jesus must not have mental health. But I bet there are days he's like, "I don't want to get up. I'm tired. I have to deal with all these people." But said that Jesus was tempted in every way and yet was without sin. So he knows what you're going through. He knows what we're going through. He understands. Jesus is the vulnerability and compassion of God. Compassion, the word compassion. Passion is like suffering, the passion of the Christ, suffering. Calm means to be with. To be with in your suffering. You know, Jesus is there in your suffering. He is the vulnerability and compassion of God. He was God, yet he came down on earth and he subject himself to limitations, to hunger and pain. You know, he subject himself to rejection. Jesus was just like us and yet without sin. So he can empathize with you. He can hear you. He understands. You know, sometimes the bad things that happens in our lives puts us directly on the path to the best thing that will ever happen to us. I think sometimes we feel like this is such a bad thing. But you know what? It's going to put you on the path to the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. When you meet Jesus, when you come to Jesus, that's exactly what happens. It puts you on the path of Jesus, just like this leper guy. He came and he knelt before Jesus. He acknowledged that he is Lord. You know, notice he didn't say, "Are you able to heal me?" It's not about ability. It's not about Jesus having the ability. He says, "Are you willing?" Jesus is always willing. He's always willing to help us and to cure us. He's more than able. But are we going to be like this leper? Will we come before him? "Hey, this thing has happened in my life, but I want to come to Jesus so that I can heal, so that he can heal me." More than important than that, what amazes me is that he touched this leper. You know, in the next, you know, couple of verses, it talks about how he healed people from afar. He could have said that. He said, you're healed. Be on your way. Go talk to the priest. But he actually touched the guy. Reached out his hand and touched the guy. I think about that. What an amazing picture that is. That God would simply, completely touch us. He says, I want to be healed. See, God has touched us. If you're a disciple, God has touched you. He's reached out to touch you. You know, but the thing is, unfortunately, some of us who have been cured continues to live outside the city gates. And we refuse to come in. Some of us has gone back outside to the city gates. I'm going to go back to who I used to be. And we simply saying, it wasn't as bad. You know, this thing about following Jesus and discipleship, and us, you know, I'm going to go back to what I used to be. It wasn't that bad. You've forgotten how it was so bad outside of the city gate. And now that he's cured you, why are you going back? Don't go back. Stay with us. We're going to make it to the end. I'm going to make it to the end. I want you to make it to the end. Help me to make it to the end. I bleed red just like you. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Don't go back into outside of the city gate. Stay with us. See that Jesus helped you. Don't forget the cross. Don't be disillusioned. Don't be infatuated with the world. You know, I really appreciate today we start Disciples in Motion. Amen. I walked in and I see people out there in their spots, in their corner. I'm like, yes. Now we're getting momentum. Now we're trying to heal. Now we're trying to get Jesus involved in our lives. And that's what discipleship in motion is about. Amen. It's connecting to Jesus. It's amazing. I was so excited this morning. And I'm so encouraged by all of you who came this morning, who got up early, because man, I'm gonna be there. Amen. I'm so encouraged by that. Because then we can get to Jesus. We can see, hey, there's hope for me. We're part of this together. I need you. Let's not pretend. Let's get real. Let's get help. This is the message. We have heard from him and declared to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. Forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we made him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, friends, we have to continue to live in the light. Don't live in the dark. We were in the dark, and God brought us into the light. Don't go back to the dark. Talk to people. Walk in the light. We will have fellowship with God. You know, pride makes us unwilling to hear others. Pride makes us unwilling to hear. It's not that we can't hear, we're just unwilling to hear. Pride, don't let pride stop you. Get help. Live in the light. See the world through God's eyes. Feel the hopelessness and despair of this broken world, full of leprosy. You know, they may dress up really nice. They may drive a fancy car, have an amazing house, have a great job, but there's leprosy inside people. And it's easy for us to walk by people and say, hey, you know, hey, you look great. But there's leprosy inside of them. We got to get them to Jesus. Say, hey, look, there's a way out for this. And his name is Jesus. And he can cure you. He is willing to cure you. Do we see people like that? Or are we just going by and just, you know, hey, I'm just living my life. I'm just trying to get through the day. Or are you desperate for people, desperate for your kids, desperate for each other? Live in the light. Destined for separation from God. Ultimately, total separation from God. I don't want that for any one of us. To be totally separated from God. You know how sometimes we have hope. If we had a really bad day or a really bad week, we can say, okay, maybe next year will be better. You know, man, next year is going to get better. Or maybe it's a bad month. And say, okay, maybe the next month would be better. The next year might be better. We have hope, right? But when we're separated from God for all eternity, there is no hope. It doesn't get better. There is no hope whatsoever. Separated from God for all eternity? Oh, am I prepared for that? To be separated from God for all eternity? To be separated from you guys for all eternity with no hope? That's what people are doing. That's what's happening. It's all heartbreaking for them. Are we urgent for them? Are we, you know, not that we just want to convert them. It's like, no, get to know people. Help them. Talk to them. Invite them to your home. Have a meal. People love to eat. Have a meal with them. Talk to them. Get to know them. And see where God leads you. Don't be afraid to speak about God. Don't be afraid to help people get to know God. At the end here, I'm going to close here in Revelation. If you would turn with me, Revelation 21. In the end, God will redeem the whole world. That we don't have to face what we face every day. It says here, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I hear a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. See, God will redeem us one day. It says all the old things are gone. Now it's new. All the suffering that you have suffered, all the mental health that you've been in your whole life, it says God will redeem all that. You will be free. You and I, we will be free. We can see God face to face. What an amazing day that will be. That's what I look forward to. I look forward to heaven. That all this will be over and I can just be with God. I can be with Jesus. And I want all of us to be there. What a great day that will be when this life is over, that we can be with God. So brothers and sisters, friends and family, we are infected. If you don't think you're infected, you're lying to yourself. You're infected. And Jesus alone is the cure. Thank you so much.